During his 5 years as Republican state representative, Steve Hickey has been an outspoken champion of social conservative causes. He's opposed abortion and same-sex marriage, but he's also worked with Democrats on such issues as abolishing the death penalty and establishing a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to address problems between Native Americans and whites. He's also been working with openly gay Democratic strategist and Sioux Falls businessman Steve Hildebrand to collect signatures for a 2016 ballot measure that would cap payday lending interest rates at 36%. Last week, Representative Hickey announced his resignation from the legislature to begin working toward a Ph.D. in Christian ethics in the modern world at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. He'll be studying the work of Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who opposed Hitler and the Nazis and died in a concentration camp. Hickey is a pastor at Gate at the Church in Sioux Falls. He represents District 9, which includes northwestern Minnehaha County. His resignation is effective on September 1st, and Governor Dugard is expected to appoint a replacement this fall. Representative Hickey joins us on the line, and welcome to Dakota Midday.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Carl.
Well, why have you decided at this time to resign your seat in the legislature and pursue this Ph.D. in Scotland?
Well, a scholarship opened up to me, which I did not get in March of 2014, but it started a process with the University of Aberdeen to get into a Ph.D. program under some people that I really have respected. I've been a member of the International Bonhoeffer Society for about 25 years, so it's an area of study that is familiar to me. I studied under a Bonhoeffer scholar 25 years ago. What's that?
Well, this is something that's been, sounds like it's been in the works for a while.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a while. So I didn't get the scholarship last year, but I did get accepted this year, and we're going to proceed with it. And so the timing is, 1 year short of the fulfillment of my term, but we have a citizen legislature, and I think that the constituents in the districts know that, people have jobs and families, vocations, and health reasons to make changes, and that's what's going on with me.
Some have raised questions about the timing, given recent complaints about possible irregularities in past candidate petitions, but as we just mentioned, this sounds like this is, as you said, this has been in the works for a while.
Yeah, right. The timing of the other thing is unfortunate. It's a political payback, and to my knowledge, and speaking with the Attorney General a few times, they have no basis to charge me with anything. So, it makes me look like a hypocrite and all of that, but I've offered to take a lie detector, and if people look at exactly what's going on and who's behind it, I think they'll understand that my resignation has absolutely nothing to do with that problem.
Now, Representative Hickey, you mentioned your health. I know you've got a serious lung disorder. What is the status of your health right now?
Yeah, I have been diagnosed with something called pulmonary fibrosis, and have diminished lung capacity, and there's no cure except to be on a lung transplant list. So I am at the Mayo Clinic, and don't plan on, I'm not active on the list. There's 125 or so people on the list, but when your lungs deteriorate to a certain point, then they activate you. You have to live within 4 hours of Mayo to get the transplant. So I have a little window of time here where I need to slow down. I'm having trouble breathing. And, this makes a lot of sense for my family.
Well, I'd like to talk about your Ph.D. work in just a bit. But first, I'd like to talk about your work in the legislature. How did that all start? How did you get involved in politics?
Well, years ago, I made a decision between law school and seminary. As many people who are lawyers will tell you, they thought about seminary, I thought about law school. So I had history and political science undergraduate work and followed issues. I was very active in the abortion campaigns in South Dakota in 2006, 2008. And from there, I had statewide, I was running around the state doing various things. And so that's kind of how I got involved in that. Public policy is something I've watched. People think, it's a different category than the Bible, but the Bible talks about everything from health care to take care of the elderly, to prisons, to, the moral situation, devalued currencies, and, the education of the young. I mean, I'm one who believes it speaks to all of life, and everybody comes to that legislature with a worldview, and mine happens to be Judeo-Christian one, and I've tried to make the case that, if we follow some of that moral basis, then the society is better off. And I'm not talking about it in a religious way. I'm talking about in a non-devotional way. The even on the issues of violence, the the teachings of Jesus, whether you, you know, believe he's the Son of God or not. You know, his teachings have changed India. They, you know, were the impetus behind Martin Luther King Jr. and nonviolent resistance. And I think we need to return to that. We got people filling stadiums to watch cage fighting, and it's just, I think we need to make a turn toward a different set of values. And so that's what I tried to bring in the legislature.
So your work, your policy approaches, the issues that you've supported, you know, if you look at them, sometimes it looks like, well, that's a Republican issue, this is a Democrat issue. You've been, as I mentioned at the intro there, you've been on issues that some Democrats have supported and Republicans have opposed, your Republican legislator, but it sounds like it's not politics that necessarily drives how you vote in the legislature and the issues that you support.
Yeah, my very first campaign brochure, I said that, you know, I believe in South Dakota neighborliness. We ought to take care of one another. I'm a people-first person. I don't believe in corporations first. I don't believe corporations are people. I said I'm not beholden to any political party because of my stance on certain social issues. I fit most comfortably in the Republican Party. But I think that I was one of the six people who started the Sioux Falls Tea Party because I believe in not spending more than you have coming in, and I, you know, the immorality of debt to the next generation and the inequity in our tax system. But then I've been called a Tea Party disappointment because I, you know, haven't, you know, been what everybody thought that would be. So five times this year I stood up and spoke against what the Republican Party was doing, and I believe not stewarding our supermajority well, changing the rules just because we can, making it difficult for people of other political persuasions or corporate hog farms or whatever. We just do what we want to do because we have the votes. And, you know, that affects banking and everything. But I've opposed the Keystone Pipeline because I don't believe any of the estimates that are out there. And I think that there are serious environmental concerns. And I think it helps other companies and corporations, and it won't change the price of gas at all. And that's very, you know, that puts me at odds with, you know, all kinds of Republicans. And you know, I make the Democrats crazy because I believe that it's a slaveholder mentality that, you know, one biological human is more human than another biological human. And I've championed the humanity of all human life, you know, whether stage of development doesn't determine humanity, nor does a degree of depravity. So I've said that, you know, even if somebody does something inhumane and, you know, gets the death penalty, we ought not kill them. It's about what we do, not what they do. So, I've been all over the map in terms of political parties, but as I walk through, you know, the streets in District 9, nobody I know likes hyper-partisanship. They're sick of it. And, you know, it's alive and well in South Dakota on both sides of the aisle.
Speaking of that hyper-partisanship, you formed a friendship with Steve Hildebrand, who is an openly gay Democratic strategist, worked on the Barack Obama campaign in 2008. You're both active in the petition drive for the interest rate cap ballot measure. How important do you think it is, given the hyper-partisanship of our political times, how important do you think it is during these divisive times to find these common grounds with political opponents and people that you might not necessarily agree with on all issues?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important. In fact, I would say it's the way forward. You know, we can continue to polarize until we have ourselves a civil war, and we need to look deeper. There's, you know, Steve Hildebrand's a good man, and I believe I am as well, and you know, he is on the opposite side of a number of things that I, you know, feel strongly about, and I'm on the opposite side of the number of things he feels strongly about. But, you know, there's a number of common areas, and we need to work together. And I think I've grown over the last 10 years to not, vilify people. I think my tone has changed in the last 5 years, and people who I can't work with on one issue, I'll work with on the next issue. So there's been a, I like the term statesmanship. It seems to be something that I've striven for. You know, with the payday lending issue, you know, they have a 9% favorability rating in America. It's the only single-digit percentage you'll ever hear associated with that industry. Their average interest rate in South Dakota is 574%. That's not Republican or Democrat. It's not arguable. They're exploiting the poor and the elderly. They're taking Social Security checks away from your grandmother. And they're making matters worse for everybody involved. we have their own training manuals for their new employees, which have a circular chart showing people how to trap people in a cycle of debt, five loans being the most profitable for them. So this isn't just a one-time financial fix for people in a hard situation or the cost of lending that kind of money. They're built in millions of dollars out of our poorest neighborhoods, and there's better ways to help the poor. And so Hildebrandt cares about that. I care about that. It's been the easiest signature drive I've ever seen. I am not hands-on with it. Steve Hildebrandt is leading the way on that. But, you know, people are not saying no to this one like they would. You know, if you were signing petitions for abortion or something, you know, half the people would say no. But on this one, they're like, yeah, and then they have a comment about it. It's the poverty industry in South Dakota. If you Google poverty industry, you'll see payday lending, you'll see pawn shops, you'll see video gambling, and you'll see subprime credit cards. And that's South Dakota. I call it the backside of our great faces and great places. We've got half the students in my city here on free and reduced lunch. It's a wonderful place to live, business friendly, but most people have two jobs. Most working class need two incomes to live. And then we got this predatory lending problem on top of it. So I have little tolerance for it. There's, you know, cities like Dallas have figured out a way to give an 18% loan for $1,000, but you only get one. And Black Hills Credit Union's figuring it out too, and there's other options that are nonprofit, church-based. Frankly, some people shouldn't be lent money. You know, if you got 11, you know, payday loans out, and some people have 15, according to consumer credit counselors in South Dakota, you don't need to loan 12. And loan 12 only pays off the payday lenders to put you in a worse situation. So it's a consumer protection issue, and boy, it's not partisan at all. So that's why Hildebrandt and I are together.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Representative Steve Hickey of District 9. He announced last week that he's resigning and will be working toward a PhD in Christian ethics in the modern world at the University of Aberdeen in Scotland. And as the ballot measure issue continues, we'll discuss that more on Dakota Midday and get into more involved with that. But Representative Hickey, I'd like to talk about a little bit in the time that we have here about your PhD studies in Scotland. Do these ideas that you're talking about and religion, contemporary politics, is this dovetail with your upcoming PhDs studies in Scotland?
Oh yeah, it all is very intertwined. I wrote a book on the Sermon on the Mount, so I'm very concerned about you know, the type of lifestyle that we live, that it actually relates to Jesus. One of those values is non-resistance. It's it has to do with living peaceably. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, wrote some on the Sermon on the Mount as well. But the regime that he lived under was tyrannical, and he ended up resisting that. In my particular area, I'm going to be studying state surveillance. And you know, under a caring regime, the fact that the state is watching, you know, us, catches child pornographers, it, you know, spots a few terrorists, and, you know, there's some good aspects to state surveillance. But what's going on today is off the charts with technology, the Edward Snowden thing, the monitoring of every phone call. And two-thirds of the world is not under a caring regime. It's under a controlling regime, and personal freedoms are really at stake. And so what does that do to people, you know, of faith? It pushes them underground. And so, you know, I'll be studying, you know, Bonhoeffer talked about a sphere of truth. You know, Hitler was outside of the sphere of truth. And so Bonhoeffer was writing camouflage letters that, you know, were really deception, saying he was in certain places, writing to people that he really wasn't there. And so that, you know, kind of threw people off of his trail. But the Sermon on the Mount says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so, you know, how do you reconcile that Christian ethic with, you know, living kind of a duplicitous life? And you know, if you say yes to the Gestapo, you're giving away the location of your family and maybe your church. And so, you know, what is the ethic behind that? It's often the case with ethics, like in medicine, the ethics trail far behind. You know, we can clone human beings, but should we? We can mix human DNA with animal DNA, but should we? And with technology today, it's far, far ahead of the ethical conversation. And so using Bonhoeffer and his life and his teaching, you know, I plan to make a contribution there. One of the aspects is they've asked me to come up with guidelines for whistleblowers and snitches. If you work for a company that's doing something wrong, you know, what are the ethics? If you're supposed to serve the company as you'd serve the Lord, you know, how can you, you know, go along with that and not turn them in? And guidelines for lawmakers, guidelines for citizen activists. Martin Luther King Jr. was monitored closely by J. Edgar Hoover. His associates were followed in their hotel rooms, and that's how we know he had affairs. And so, you know, how do you live in under that? Should you cast your pearls before swine? Statement from the Sermon on the Mount. So those are the ideas, and that's what the study is about.
So this is a 4-year degree program? 4 years, PhD?
Three to four, yeah. You know, a PhD over there, in European theological schools, they are research degrees, so there's no coursework, but, you know, they tell me to expect 3 or 4 years.
And what are your plans once you finish? Will you return back to Sioux Falls and South Dakota?
Yeah, my plan is to, my home is here. I am selling the actual home I'm living in, but I'm keeping a position at the church we're calling Pastor Emeritus. I've been there 21 years, and so I'm planning on coming right back here. I'd like to teach and write. We'll see what my health is doing.
And do you think you'll miss politics, being involved and being a member of the legislature?
I'll miss some things. I'll miss the people. They're good people all over the state. I'll probably have a lot less frustrations. You know, it's a frustrating world to try to make some change in. I some people say, well, you should run for governor and change it. Well, I've ticked off everybody it takes to on either side of the aisle to make that kind of thing happen. So I don't know. I'll stay involved in this payday issue. I'll cross the finish line on that in November 2016. But who knows? I'm not disappearing too far.
All right. Well, Representative Hickey, I want to thank you for joining us on Dakota Midday, and hope you'll stay healthy and best wishes for the future.
Very good. Thanks, Carl.